In this class, we learned about why we have an invitation. We learned how to win an adult to Christ. We've learned so far how to win a child to Christ. We learned how to win a person to Christ at the altar, which is different. Amen. We learned in the class here how to why a public profession is important. We learned how to speak to people at the altar about baptism and when to speak to somebody about baptism. Amen. We're going to continue to learn about how to speak to people about membership. And by the way, let me say that membership is very important. Not because I say so. Not because Pastor says so. Because Jesus said so. And He wants us to be a members of His church. Amen. The church, remember we learned about the church in Sunday school months back. Almost a year ago we started learning about the church. And the truth is that the church is really the body of Christ. And Jesus wants you to be a part of His body. I don't know anything outside of my body isn't a part of my body. Some things come in my body for a little while and then they leave. It's called usually called a virus. Amen? Sometimes I get food for a little while, then it does its job and then it leaves. Amen? But I need my blood. I need my arms and my legs. I need my toes. I need my fingers. My grandchildren taught me how the importance of fingers when it comes to noses. I need my fingers. I need my arms. I need my muscles. I need my heart. I need my liver. I need my kidneys. I need parts of my heart you don't even ever see and you'll never see, like your eardrum. I need my eardrums. Without them, you can't hear. Amen? Liver makes me quiver. And it's not with the light either. But I need my liver. It purifies my blood. I've never seen my liver. I've never felt my liver quiver. But I got a liver somewhere in there. But it's an important part of my body. I need my lungs. Without my lungs, I can't breathe. There's little things inside your lungs called bronchi. Thank you. And bronchi really are super important. And you would never see them in life, but they're just as important as your eyes. In fact, you could live without your eyes, but you couldn't live without the bronchi in your body. Because that's what makes the oxygen go through your body. See, I don't know what part of the body you are. I don't know what part of the body I am. But I know this, I'm important to the Lord's body. Amen. And so are you. So the Lord wants you to be a part of His body. Now, there are churches today, and we've talked about this in Sunday school before, there are churches today that have services tonight, just like we do. And they're going to use the Lord's name, just like we do. They're going to use a Bible of a type, but probably not the King James Bible. But they're not Bibles that are authorized by God, or a church is authorized by God. And they're nice people. Don't misunderstand me. They may be religious people. And I'm not saying Baptist churches are the only churches. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is authorized churches are the only churches Jesus recognizes. And you say, how do you know that? Read the book of Revelation. The first three chapters will tell you all about that. Because He names them by name and He knows everything that goes on in that church. He knows their ups and their downs and their negatives and their positives. And then He warns them about things that they're doing that they're supposed to recognize and correct. Amen? Those are real churches. And those were all authorized churches. But I'll bet you a dollar to it. I bet you a dollar, but I'm not a betting man. So I'll only bet you a dime. There were other churches, I believe, out there during that time. In fact, I know historically there were.
Right.
There were other churches out there. But they weren't authorized churches. They were religious institutions.
Yeah.
Can I be honest with you? I am not a religious person.
Amen.
If you came to my house, you would never see a picture of Jesus there.
Amen.
Because there are no photographs of Jesus.
Right.
There are no drawings of Jesus.
Right.
If Brother Coy wanted to grow his hair a little longer, we could call you Jesus. Well, that's just as much as those paintings and pictures are.
Yeah. Right.
You wouldn't find a crucifix in my house. You know why? Jesus isn't on the cross.
Right. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
You won't find a cross at my house. Well, you will. It's on the chairs. It's like this. It's an X and it helps hold them up. But there's not something hanging on my wall. Well, I do have some X's that hang on my wall. But those are bow and arrows. Amen? Yeah. Arrows hanging up there. But they're not the cross. You won't find a cross at my house. You won't find religious material at my home. But you know what you will find in my home? The Bible. You know what you'll find in my home? Gospel tracts.
Amen.
You know what you'll find in my home? A family altar.
Amen.
But that's not a physical thing.
Right.
That you sit in front of everything. You'll see a time of devotional. You'll see prayer transpiring. But you're not going to find anything religious there. I'm not a religious person. I don't believe in religion. Religion was made by man.
Right.
Faith is trusting Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's churches out there that are religious churches. And they're sincere people. And they're nice people. They're just not being following the proper leadership. But I know our church. I know our church's history. I know how our church was founded. And that's what it comes down being, is how your church is founded. Whether it's an authorized church. And Jesus says this. Jesus says if a church does not do what he says, he'll take their candlestick away.
Right.
Now what does that mean? You read that in the book of Revelation. You read that 7 times. And here's what it means. That means he takes his authority away.
Right.
And he'll send a preacher will come, but it won't be his.
Right.
Now, that's important to what I'm about to say here now. Okay? So we're going to learn about talking to people about church membership. And the reason that church membership is important, and if it's not important to you, don't talk to somebody about it. Because your sincerity or lack of will come across to them. Okay? But church membership is important because that's what Jesus has told us to do. To become a member of His body. Amen? But So church membership is important. I'm going to talk to you more about that and how to talk to people about that in a little bit. What we say to people when they come forward, what do we say to them? We're going to teach that. What do we say to them? Men and women, men should be with men and women should be with women, to be honest with you. And I'm going to teach why here in a couple weeks. Alright? How do we pray for other people's needs? I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about, how else I can help at the altar? How you could be an altarer? Why do we fill out forms and why are they so important? Okay? However, at this time, I'm going to take just a little bit of time and I'm going to review the things that we started with at the very beginning of our classes here. And this is important because I'm going to start tying everything together now. So I want to remind you and refresh your mind where we started. Because now it's time to pull everything together. All right. So I don't want you to try to remember it. I'm going to help you to remember it. No test. All right. We're going to take a test. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, say aye. All right. You just passed. All right. Good job. All right, that was your test. All right. So when we first started in our services, we talked about the purpose of the altar, the purpose of the invitation. We started to talk a little bit about why is it so important. We went from altar worker is kind of altar work, and the altar has become much aligned over the years. I made that statement before. Well, we went from calling it an invitation to a mourner's bench, to a place where backsliders get right with God, to a workplace for the people to get saved or baptized or join the church. However, that is not the reason for the invitation. Those are part of the invitation, but that's not the reason for the invitation. Invitations in many churches today across America, of all sorts of churches, and across the world today, in God's authorized churches, have become a place for one of four things to transpire. Someone to get saved, someone to become a church member, someone to be baptized, or someone to get right with God. And those are the only four reasons that people come to the altar. All of that, if that was the purpose of the altar, all of that would be wrong. That is not the purpose that God established an invitation for. God said, and I believe this with all my heart, that we should close every preaching service with a call for people to respond to God, period. Okay? God's word never returns to him void. That's what he says. That's a promise, by the way. So when a man of God gets up to preach and he preaches, we need to respond. Isaiah 55:11 says, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. So, we learned a few things. We learned that when a man is called to be the pastor of a church, God calls him. And God calls that man to do one thing, to be a tool. And that's all. That's all his job is to be a tool. So when a man has been called to preach, by the way, not called to preach by anybody but Jesus Christ himself, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's the command that God gives to preachers. And it's a preacher that God calls to preach. Not a church elects. Not mama says you should be a preacher. And there's a lot of Bible college students that go to college and become preachers because that's what mama said. Not for a profession. Not to make money. Lord knows I've never made any money in the ministry. Seems like I've given more. I promise you this. I have given more money to the ministry than I have ever received from it. I promise that's true with me. My son knows. He's here. He'd tell you. I know what God has done in my life, and I'd rather give than to receive, but that God has called me to serve Him. Not a people, not even a church, but Him. Our pastor is called to serve Him. In serving Him, He will serve you. But if God tells him to go serve somewhere else, he got to go where God says. My son is a missionary to the Philippines because he wants to be there? I don't think so. Because his wife thinks he should be there? I don't think so. Because their oldest son, Dougie, loves the language so much. Ah-ah. He wants to be in America so bad he could taste it. He's 7 years old. I'm American. He loves America. They're there because God said so. And they don't have a right to do what they want. Preacher, pastor does not have a right to do what he wants. I don't have a right to do what I want. I'm not my own. I'm a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He commands us to preach His Word. We have a pastor who the Holy Spirit has led to our church, who must then seek God's face to know the message that the Lord wants spoken to His church for each and every service. The pastor or preacher is not to speak what he thinks is best for the people. I'll say that again. That's a very important statement. The pastor or preacher is not to speak what he thinks is best for the people. He is to say what the Lord wants him to speak, period. It's not a time of opinion. It's not a time to beat the people into submission as the pastor of the church standing behind the pulpit bullying people. It is a time for the preacher to be the mouthpiece for the Lord. That's his job. So, I looked at it this way with y'all in reviewing. The preacher is a hose. The purpose of the hose is to move water from one location to another location. The hose is not the water. The hose is not doing the watering. It's a tool to simply move water from one location to another location. Now, my illustration, that's the pastor. The water is the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is only going to bring to you and I what Jesus has for His church. Every time we meet together tonight, well, meeting together, God intended for me to be saying these things to you at this time in this service for your sake. It's not what I want to say. It's not my opinion. If it is my opinion, I need to shut up and sit down and let somebody that the Holy Spirit plugs into as a hose and lets the Holy Spirit flow through them the message that Jesus, who's the head of the church, has for His church. That's you. So the boss, Jesus, the head of the church, Jesus, the one who gave Himself for us, Jesus, the one whom the Father said, I have put all things under you and made Him the head of the church. He has a message for you. He has a message for me. And every time we meet, He has a message for you. It's never the pastor's message. It's never the preacher's message. It's always Jesus' message. So, the Holy Spirit takes the preacher, He plugs him into the big tank of Jesus Christ in heaven. And this is this, by the way, is all ordained by God to work this way. The hose is stretched out. And out flows the water from heaven to the people. Now the preacher gets wet because the water runs through the hose. So he gets just as much of a blessing as you do. In fact, he might get a little bit more of a blessing because I don't know if you've ever picked up a hose, but water seems to linger in every hose I have. So maybe he gets a little extra lingering. I know I do because it takes me so long to even put together a message. Because I pray so hard that I only say what Jesus wants me to say. I want to say what Jesus wants me to say, not what I want. Doug Marco doesn't matter. In reality, on November 30th, 1977, Doug Marco died. And a servant was born. And my job is to be a servant. And you know what a servant does? Anything the master tells him.
Yeah.
Any servant that thinks they can do whatever they want to do is no longer a servant. And that servant will be dismissed or put out of his misery. I don't want to be put out of my misery. I want to be a servant of the King. So, when we proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, we are assuming a role of what's called an ambassador. We are called ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Jesus did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled unto God. Now, whose stead is this? I'll read that verse again. This is good. 2 Corinthians 5:20. I'll write this one down. Check it out in your Bible. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. It's as if God's talking to you Himself by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, not for our sake, but in Christ's place, to be reconciled to God, that you be reconciled and brought closer to Him. That's all God wants. The whole reason that Jesus teaches us and speaks to us from every time we meet together, the only reason He does it is He wants you closer to Him. It's a communication. It's an important communication. When I was dating my wife, I didn't have cell phones back then, but when we did have phones, we'd go to a phone, and I'd call her, and I expected a communication. Hi. How you doing? Did you have a good day? Yuck. But that's how we were, you remember that? Oh. I just like hearing you breathe on the other side of the phone. That's how we were. You remember that? We were sick. We were lovesick.
Amen.
Right.
We all, I drove by your house today, and I just knew you had to be in one of the rooms. And I thought, oh, just to go, shut up. But we just are that, you know, we're communicating. If you took a look at my cell phone bill, do you know who I call all the time? And who calls me? And who texts me the most? And whom I text the most? My wife. We communicate. We're close. I love her. I know I got to say that, but I do.
Amen.
And she loves me because God said she had to. And we talk to each other. That's what God wants with you. He's our Father. It thrills me when my son is in the Philippines and all of a sudden my phone rings with a video message. And we get to have what's called FaceTime. Amen. And my grandkids get on. My grandson, Dougie, can we FaceTime Grandpa? Can we FaceTime Grandpa? Am I right? He wants to talk to me all the time. I'm buying him an iPad so he can talk to me anytime he wants to. I love him. I love it when they communicate with me. My granddaughter, Darla, was having the biggest conversation with me earlier today, and my son-in-law looked down at me and he said, do you know what she said? And I was smiling at her and agreeing. I had no idea one word she said, not one. I had no idea. But you know something? We were together. We were arm in arm, hand in hand, together. That's all that mattered to me. That's how the Father feels about you. And so when the preacher gets up to preach, he's not preaching. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ wants to talk to you. He's trying to tell you how to get closer to Him. And when He talks, He expects a response. I know when my wife's mad at me, one of the telltale reasons, Mrs. White, this probably happens to you too. Miss Linda, you probably are the same way. I know when my wife's mad because I'll say, blah, 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 okay? Nothing. Sweetheart, nothing. What's wrong? Then I hear these words, nothing. I don't hear them like this, oh, nothing, sweetheart. I hear it like this, nothing. Oh, there's something wrong. Amen. Oh, buddy, there's something wrong. And I should have caught it, but I didn't, and I never have. And I probably never will. But I should have. And so that silence tells me something's wrong. When we're silent to God, that tells Him something's wrong. The purpose of the invitation then is this. Jesus is speaking to you and me about getting closer to Him and the Father. How to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your daily life.
Right.
And when the preacher's done preaching, he doesn't have to figure out how to give an invitation. He doesn't need to know what to say. I used to say this. I'm about to land, but I can't find the runway. I can't figure out where to set her down. That was wrong. It doesn't matter where I stop. It's not my message. It's Jesus' message. And I know this is true about Pastor. I know it's true about him because we've talked about this. I can't tell you how much of what I think I'm supposed to say never comes out of my mouth. And suddenly things come out of my mouth while I'm preaching. And I'm going, man, I ought to be writing that down. That's good. We're taping this, right? That's what I'm thinking. I got to go back and hear that again. Because it's not for me. Only a preacher who has preached for a while and knows that the Lord's flowing through him to the people understands that. So the purpose of the invitation, and you've been doing very well at this since I taught this, is because we're communicating. When God says something, He expects us to respond. In every church in the book of Revelation, when He's done talking to them, He said, and they that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit, who? The Spirit, saith unto the churches. I thought Jesus was talking to them. Well, He was, wasn't He? But how is He speaking to us? Through the Holy
Spirit.
But wait a minute now. Who is writing this down? A preacher? We don't even think about that, do we? The book of Revelation was written by John. It was given to them by John the Divine. Is that right? John the Revelator. Okay? He was the pen. That's all the preacher is. But when I'm reading the book of Revelation, I'm not thinking about John. You? You think about Peter when you're reading the book of 1 and 2 Peter? Me neither. Are you thinking about Timothy when you're reading 1 and 2 Timothy? How about Titus? How about Paul? He's all over the place. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Kind of like Santa Claus at Christmas time, isn't he? But I'm not thinking about Paul. I'm thinking about the words that are being spoken from heaven to me and how to apply them to my life. Anybody else like that? That's exactly what God wants. And so the invitation of the church service is our time to respond. I made this statement to you. What God does publicly, He expects a public response to. What God does for us privately, He expects a private response to. All right? Illustration. When I ask my wife to marry me, it's a public statement marriage is. Where we stand up before witnesses and say, out of all the women in the world, I pick her. And she said, of all the men in the world, I mistakenly picked him and out too late. Do you? Yes, I do. Do you? Yes, I do. By the power invested in me, by someone I don't even know, kiss, you're one. And off you go. Publicly. It's not done in private. But wait a minute. Our communications have been in private. I don't make them public. When we have an argument, it's private. It's not public. When we say our love yous, our I love yous, two or three times a year, they're private. They're not public. Amen? We may hold hands in public. We may walk together in public. We may have conversations in public, but we don't make them public. Amen? They are not Facebook posts. Amen? They're private. But what God wants done publicly, He wants done publicly. When He talks to us as a body, He expects His body to respond. Who's His body?
We are! We are! Here He is! Here He is! Ah, we is!
We're the body, is that right?
That's right.
So He expects us then to respond publicly. So when the invitation is given, the purpose of the invitation, it's just like in the book of Revelation to the seven churches, what Jesus said He expects the church to respond to. So He expects us to respond. And He says, come forward and make this thing done because I just talked to you publicly. Now there's people who say, I'm not going to do that. And what you are, in Jesus' name, is a rebel. Ooh, that doesn't feel good, does it? But the truth is, we're being rebellious when we don't do what Jesus says. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Well, I'm not going to do that. And by the way, that shuts down the Holy Spirit's power. I have heard some of the greatest sermons in my life preached to churches that will not respond at the invitation, and there's hundreds of people that never get saved as a result. Have you noticed what's happened in our church since we started responding an invitation? We've grown.
Amen.
People have been getting saved. People's lives have been changing.
Amen.
People aren't afraid to move from their seat. I remember the first Sunday that you guys moved. We had a lady back here about sitting about where you were, Stephanie. Her name was Sarah. No?
Sharon.
Because you moved, and she was under conviction. Guess what happened to Sharon? She walked forward. We greeted her and said, what can I do for you? I want to go to heaven. And I'm not going. Okay! You know what? The Holy Spirit had freedom. There was a movement amongst the people. We were responding to God. The Bible says, quench. Anybody know the next word? Not. Quench not the Spirit. When we don't respond to what Jesus said, we're quenching the Spirit. Question for you. All right, fellas, you help me here. You're happy-go-lucky. Everything's going good. You just came back from a golf game, Brother Robbie, and you feel great. And you say, hi, Linda, or sweetheart, or darling. I'm not sure what you call her. Ding dong. Anyway, and you say, hey there, Linda. And she goes... And you say, you ever get, what happened?
Hey, you okay, honey?
And all of a sudden, all that joy you had because you tied preacher for five holes of the game disappeared.
Because the spirit got quenched. Amen? You ever seen a husband go off to work? They're a little grumpy when they left for work, and then they came home and they were terrible. Grouch! What's wrong? Nothing!
Oh, yes, you're don't poke the bear because he's a wolf upset today. All of a sudden, he'll just take a swipe at someone whoosh, and remove a good hunk of flesh, right? Just like a bear. What is wrong with him? Don't you feel like just slapping him?
Yes.
Yes, you do. I've done that. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. It's not just women. Men can quench the spirit just as quick, if not quicker. See, men have two positions, happy and mad.
Yes.
There's nothing in between. There's having a fair day. I like to say we have that. Women have a fair day. They got more patience than we do. We're either like,
because there ain't nothing going on up there anyway. Or we're,
and we can go from just about that fast. We are quick at it, fellas. Not just the ladies, and we can quench the spirit. She could have had a great day, and she wanted to tell you all about it, and you walked in, and you said, why are you so happy?
What?
But we've said that before. Oh, why?
We quench the spirit. And when we don't respond to Jesus Christ at the invitation, we quench the spirit. So when we have an invitation, we have to change our mindset then.
There's not four reasons that people come forward. Get saved, get baptized, get right with God, or to join the church. If everybody's responding like they should, then a lot of people are going to be at the altar just because. Because God spoke to them. I am never in a service where God doesn't speak to me. Now, sometimes I've been ticked off. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm really kind of like, man, I'm dead today, aren't I? I really need that altar where I can just spend some moments with my Savior and get back to my Father. See? So the invitation, that's the purpose of it. So when we think someone walks forward and we need to rush to their side to pray with them, that's because you're stuck in one of those four categories. You think they're trying to get right with God. Well, everybody, there ain't nobody right with God. Hello, anybody here? Are we always? No, ain't nobody right. So everybody's getting right. And that's the time to respond, because if we don't respond when Jesus speaks to us in the church service, you're dead sure not going to respond out there. You're going to forget more and more as you walk further and further away. You get in your car, you drive home, your phone rings. Before you know it, you even forgot what the preacher said. Because I've been the preacher and I forgot what I said. Because the world grabs hold of us. And that's why God wants us to respond right then. I could give you a lot of scripture about it, and I did during those 4 weeks I talked about it. So I'm going to review, and then we're going to stop for tonight, and then next week I'm going to charge back into what we to do at this altar then. Because this should change our mind about what we're going to do up here. And how we're going to work with people up here. Because I'm going to check if they're saved. If they're saved, I'm going to check to see if they're coming for church membership or baptism. If it's none of those, and they just need me to pray for them, that's a different issue. But if somebody's at the altar already, I'm not going to necessarily rush to their side, because unless the Holy Spirit leads me to do that. Because everybody should be responding anyway. Can I be honest with you about an invitation? Everybody should be at the altar, and this auditorium ought to be empty. If I'm a person that's under conviction of the Holy Spirit to get saved, and I'm the only one standing out there, I'm going forward. Because I think everybody else is supposed to be doing that too. I guess I'm going to go too. And that helps the Holy Spirit. It aids him in the work of the people. So, let me give you these six points
that we started with at the very beginning as a review, and then we're done. All right? God calls a pastor or a preacher to serve him and not himself. Number two, Jesus is the head of the church and has a message to give to his people at every service. Number three, the Holy Spirit of God picks up his tool, the preacher, and gives him the message that Jesus wants him to speak, period. Not the preacher's message, not his ideas, not his views. It's what God expects for him to say. Number four, when the preacher is speaking, the Holy Spirit is flowing through him to the people. It's not the preacher speaking, but the Holy Spirit who is speaking to the hearts the message that Jesus wants you and me to have at that moment. Number five, when God speaks, he expects us to respond to him. And when he speaks to us privately, we need to respond privately. But when he speaks to us in a public forum, we need to respond publicly. Number six, when we hear the preaching, it is God, the Lord speaking to us through the preacher by the Holy Spirit, and he has an expectation of communication between you and me. His expectation is that you communicate. Who in the Bible was at the burning bush? Did he respond? Or did he just stand there and go, I'm not going over there? How about Samuel? The Lord kept calling him. He's laying down crying and go to sleep. You call me, goes to his master. You calling me? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Drunk him. Comes back later on. You calling me? No, I ain't calling you. Go to bed. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it might be the Lord calling you. Next time, say yes, Lord. What can I do for you? So his phone rings one more time. Yes, Lord. What can I do for you? Ding. There he is. He's got a message from heaven, and it's awful important. Did the Lord expect him to respond? Yeah. So then God expects you and I to respond. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today. Whenever you speak, you expect us to respond.